so we continue on with this treasure in clay jars series. How many remember the scripture before you look at the front of your bulletin? For we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Amen. I'm going to begin with this prayer from Psalm 19. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So the small town, there were three churches, and they decided to get together to do some work that would improve the community. And so the three preachers decided to meet regularly to mow lawns and paint houses and perform other types of outreach. One day, after spending several hours preparing a garden for a homeless shelter, the preachers rested under a shade tree and they were sipping some lemonade. One of them said, "It's really been wonderful getting to know you, and I really needed this kind of fellowship, and I need to make a confession. I need to ask you with some help in prayer. I'm having a horrible time with alcohol." And so they agreed to pray for him. And then another one spoke up and said, "Well, I too have a special need. I'm having a horrible time with gambling, and I need your prayers. Will you pray for me?" And they agreed. And then the third spoke up and said, "Since we're sharing our secret faults today, I should let you know I have a problem with gossip." So today we are looking at the spiritual gifts of word. They are teaching, preaching, wisdom, knowledge, exhortation, and prophecy. Last week we talked about the gifts of deed. Today, we talk about the gifts that inspire us to do good deeds. So, speaking of words, this week I learned a new word, and it's called zygology. Does anyone know what zygology is? Anyone ever heard that word before? Zygology. It's the science of things that hold other things together. So it includes things like rivets and nails and tapes and glue and fasteners and snaps, you name it. So what is the zygology of the church? What holds the church together? I think if you went in my office right now and saw my desk, you might think that Post-it notes actually are holding us together right now. We're getting ready for charge conference, so there's a lot of sticky notes everywhere. But no, what holds the church together, the zygology of the church, is the Word of God. The Word of God, which is from the Greek word, the Logos. Logos is the word in the first chapter in John to describe Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, who is the sticky glue that holds the church together. This reading from Ephesians says that the gifts of word are those gifts that enable the church to serve. The gifts of word are those gifts that enable the church to serve. They are gifts that bring unity, the word that brings us together. So the Word of God speaks creation into existence. Green may be a color that we all see, but it really becomes green when we can experience what green is, like walking barefoot in the grass. We all know that kind of green. Well, words can be life-giving. Words can acknowledge things that already exist. Words can illuminate goodness. Words can create because they can convince and challenge us to do or be something. Words, on the other hand, can also be hurtful, sometimes even without intending them to be. The spiritual gifts of word put the member with that particular gift in a bit of a dilemma. Speaking up about anything in today's world makes you vulnerable. And so especially speaking up about God makes you vulnerable. God's word is challenging. And the Holy Spirit both comforts and convicts. So those who are called to preach and teach and exhort are vulnerable to criticism. Why would anyone want to do these things? Why would any member of the church want to do these things? I think the young prophet Jeremiah describes it best when he says it is like fire in the bones. It is the word in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Ephesians describes the gift of words as the gifts that are used for leadership, to guide others in ways of serving, and to bring unity to the body of Christ. Ephesians 3, just a couple of verses before our verses this morning, state this: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And this is affirmed through the last verse of our reading today, which states, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Those are scandalous words for us, the church, today. When we in the church are often seen and viewed and characterized as those with more disunity than unity, many of us, myself included, were left confused after General Conference this year. It didn't appear to accomplish too much. Yet if we look at the work of General Conference through the lens of Ephesians 4, unity was maintained by the power of the Holy Spirit. The United Methodist Church uses consensus, working toward the whole body being of one mind and one with the mind of Christ. When we are confused about church, prayer is the power through which our understanding of God continues to grow. Now, there's an ecumenical movement here in Virginia that has introduced new unity amongst the Lutherans and Methodists, thanks to Bishop Kammerer and others who worked with her through that dialogue, so that we can come to the table as one. Lutherans and Methodists together, sharing at the Lord's Supper as one. I hope we begin to see more of that kind of unifying work throughout the Christian church. According to the Apostle Paul, the unity in the body comes from the gifts of word. The unity of the body comes from the teaching, the preaching, the prophecy, wisdom, and knowledge, the spiritual gifts used in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit conveys the gifts of word, pours the gifts of word for the building out up of the church. So let's talk a little bit about each gift. The gift of teaching. The gift of teaching, and you should have received a little handout with your bulletin that you can follow along with. But the gift of teaching is that supernatural ability to clearly and accurately communicate the truths of the Bible in such a way that people learn and apply that learning to their lives. They communicate biblical truth and give clear insight. Now, Jesus' teaching was awesome. Jesus is the model for the spiritual gift of teaching. Jesus taught using parables. But I think the most effective and the best example of Jesus' teaching occurred in the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. If you read that story again sometime, you'll see that Jesus didn't even use a word. It says he knelt down and drew something in the sand. He used silence to teach. And then he asked a question. You who is without sin, cast the first stone. Not one, not anyone, then or now, can ever say they have perfect fidelity to God. What a teaching that was from Jesus. What an example for us to learn through. A way to communicate biblical truth and give clear insight that indeed God has forgiveness for us all. Now, there are liabilities to each gift. Again, there may be an effort on the part of the teacher to be so exuberant and want people to understand things so well that they communicate too much information. And the content alone can produce more resistance. So the best way for teachers to teach is for them to know their students. Here is what the scriptures warn to those who have been called to teach. So this is from James. It says, not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue, a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And that ends the teaching from James. Teaching is a gift that is a gift in which the Spirit moves in and you cannot keep quiet. It's a gift that the Spirit insists that you use. And yet it is a gift that can be very dangerous. It is a gift that requires steadfast faithfulness. It is a gift that requires other gifts to understand mercy and compassion and love in offering such teaching. Now, the word, gifts of word called wisdom and knowledge are gifts that are not mentioned in the Ephesians scripture today. They are mentioned in Corinthians, the 12th chapter. But the gift of wisdom is the supernatural ability to offer spiritual counsel immediately in a situation where such guidance is needed. Now, we know this story well, the story of two women who go to King Solomon and they're quarreling over a baby. Previous night, one of the women had rolled over and her baby had perished, and now both are claiming that this alive baby is their true child, and they come to Solomon with the case. And his solution, which he exercises a word of wisdom, he says, divide the baby in half. And the true mother manifests herself by pleading for the baby's life and giving the baby to the other woman. And Solomon says, well, that's the true mother because she was concerned with the baby's life. So see, this gift of wisdom is a gift that can communicate and can offer spiritual counsel immediately in a very difficult situation. The gift of knowledge is the supernatural ability to receive and share revealed knowledge, which was otherwise not known. Okay, so this happens to all of us to an extent, this gift of knowledge. Did God ever put it in your heart to call someone? And when you made that phone call, you learned that it was a phone call that was made in a very timely manner, that they needed something that day, or that maybe they had something special going on that day, and you just knew that you needed to call them. Has that ever happened to any of you? Ever made a phone call when you just knew you needed to do that? Well, that's the gift of knowledge. And the gift of knowledge is a gift that asks that we respect confidentiality about some of those things that are revealed to us. Sometimes things are revealed that God only wants the person with the gift of knowledge to know and attend to for the purpose of prayer or encouragement. Exhortation is the supernatural ability to encourage, comfort, challenge, or rebuke others toward right action in such a way that they respond and act. Exhortation encourages others. It motivates others to apply Scripture to their lives. I have a friend. His name is Randy. And Randy encourages everyone. His encouragement to me over many years has been very helpful. And his encouragement is not offered in platitudes. He genuinely sees a gift and he lifts it up and marvels at it for others to look at. It's a wonderful way to build up the body of Christ. And the wonderful thing about watching Randy's gift is Randy does this for everyone. Every Christian he knows, he exhorts and encourages and lifts up and offers an opportunity for others to see that gift. Prophecy is the last gift that we're going to look at, the last gift of word. Prophecy is the supernatural ability to proclaim God's present and future truth in such a way that all are moved to respond. They plead God's case in such a timely way, and it strengthens believers. Now, I don't think anyone can have the gift of prophecy without having some other gift mixes along with that prophetic voice. Wisdom, knowledge, discernment of spirits, those spiritual gifts work well with the gift of prophecy. Probably the most prophetic voice that we know of today was a man by the name of John Chrysostom. John Chrysostom. Anyone heard of him? Chrysostom means, you've heard of him, yeah. Chrysostom means golden mouth. John Chrysostom was a preacher in 368. So in the 4th century, he was working with the church. His style was forceful. It was immediate and compelling. He was preaching to a church at the time. You know, they didn't have pews in the church. And so people were walking around the whole time during church service. And they were in perpetual motion. And John had to keep their attention as they were moving along. He was a theologian for the people, and he exhorted his hearers to take the message home with them and to repeat it over dinner. He encouraged his listeners to repeat the messages that he taught at home. We have more than 600 of John's sermons and 200 of his letters. His sermon series on the book of Acts is the only surviving commentary on that book from the first 1,000 years of the church. Very important for our church history. John Chrysostom is known as the patron saint of preachers. And I'm going to read to you what Chrysostom used in preaching this letter from the Ephesians. These are the same verses that you all have heard today. And this is a quote, and I will tell you when I end the quote. So this is all John Chrysostom, the golden mouth, proclaiming the gospel for his audience in the 4th century. He says, "For the perfecting of saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, perceive ye the dignity of the office. Each one edifies, each one perfects, each one ministers, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And by stature here, he means perfect knowledge, for as a man will stand firmly, whereas children are carried about and waver in the mind, so it is also with believers. "To the unity," saith he, "of the faith, that is, until we shall be shown to have all one faith. For this is the unity of faith, when we are all one, when we shall all alike acknowledge the common bond. Till then thou must labor to this end. If for this thou hast received a gift, that thou mightest edify others, look well that thou overturn not thyself by envying another. God hath honored thee and ordained thee, that thou shouldest build up another. Yea, for about this was the apostle also engaged, and for this was the prophet prophesying and persuading, and the evangelist preaching the gospel, and for this was the pastor and the teacher. All had undertaken one common work. For tell me not of the difference of the spiritual gifts, but that all had one work." That's the end of the quote. All gifts. Teaching, preaching, wisdom, knowledge, all had one common work. Here's the thing. The Word of God is a redeeming word. One of the post-it notes that I have on my desk right now says this. It says, "It is a lie, any talk of God that does not comfort you." Redemption is the word that helps us to experience and know God. Redemption is the word that helps us understand that God has our back, that God will be with us always, that God saves us even from the deepest despair. God's word has the power to redeem, and God's word gets what it asks for. From the passage in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, that proclaims, "So shall the word be that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty." When Jesus was sent to the earth to save the world from their sins, he did not return to God empty, but accomplished the purpose for which he was sent. Speaking a word of love to those in the body of Christ indicates a new social order where all members are essential and all members are connected. Love is not some theoretical or abstract. Love is the glue, the snaps and the fasteners, the zygology that holds the church together. Last week at our wide church meeting, I said the church is both a human and a divine entity. Christ's body is the intersection of the human and the divine word. So I close with this redeeming word from Eugene Peterson's The Message. God handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. By the power of the Spirit, he handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work. Working within Christ's body, the church, until we are all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed with and without, fully alive like Christ. We're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. God wants us to grow and to mature, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do, of every word we speak. He keeps us in step with each other. His very word, His breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Amen.